The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decisions.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
And welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth program. Thrilled that you are joining me today. A retirement survey came out last week in Bloomberg. It reveals people globally don't understand investments or inflation. There was a global study done. Three questions asked about stocks, inflation, and return on investments. Three relatively basic questions, but what we found is that the majority of people failed the financial literacy test globally. Germany came in first. They seem to understand investments and inflation best. We didn't do so well here in the U.S. The inflation question was the question that most people globally got wrong. More than half of the globe doesn't understand inflation. Majority of people in the United States don't have a grasp on inflation, according to the very simple three-question survey given. Here's the question. Imagine that the interest rate on your savings account was 1% per year, and inflation is 2% per year. After 1 year, how much would you be able to buy with the money in this account? Is it more than today? Exactly the same as today? Less than today? Don't know, refuse to answer. When you take don't know and refuse to answer, and the actual answer given, more than half the people in the United States didn't get it right. The answer is, if you're earning 1% on your money, but inflation is 2%, you have less purchasing power. That's inflation. If you didn't get it right, don't worry too much about that because you're in company with most of the other retirees in our country. Inflation is the root of money worries of many baby boomers and retirees. And I'm going to tell you, it's the root. That's the key word here, the root of the worries. Because the number one worry of baby boomers and retirees is that they're going to run out of money. But when you get to the root of why do you worry if you have enough money, and oh, by the way, a lot of people think that affluent investors, people with maybe $1 million or $2 million or $3 million that they've saved over their lifetime, they feel as if, why would they have any worries? How can they worry? Their worries must be solved. Let me tell you, people with money have a lot of worries. Money creates many worries. And I know somebody would say, well, geez, when you have no money, That's a lot of worry. But guess what? People that have wealth don't feel wealthy, a lot of them, because they worry about running out of money. Where does the root of running out of money come from? The loss of purchasing power. The cost of one's day-to-day life going up. The cost of that going up and therefore not having enough of those increased costs year over year to cover the expense. For example, many retirees and baby boomers worry about the cost of healthcare later on. They worry about the cost of care in general, in who takes care of them. Even when they might still be relatively healthy, they're not sick, but they need somebody there because maybe cognitively and physically they're just slowing down. These things all have high cost, and the cost of life necessities going up is very scary to people. Why? Because it comes to this. The root of that is inflation. And guess what? Inflation is one of those things that it's out of our control. Well, there's things that we can actively do that are in our control, if we recognize it, to maybe address it before it gets to a point of divorce. But with inflation, it's very difficult to do. Why? Because we can't see inflation. We don't know what it looks like. It's hard to see. That's why it's hard to control. Inflation's more like carbon monoxide or a gas leak. You don't know until it's too late. You're like, what happened here? You know, it's game over. Nobody even knew. It looked like everybody just went to sleep. Inflation comes in different shapes and sizes. There's something called healthy inflation. Healthy inflation is when we're getting manageable price increases. Then there's too low inflation, called disinflation, where it causes the economy to struggle a bit. It causes people's ability to earn more to struggle a bit. Then there's something called no inflation or deflation. That's where there's no inflation and actually prices are going down. Believe it or not, that's the worst cycle that the history of us studying the economies in the United States, it has been the biggest economic problem of something called deflation, spiraling down of prices. Because wages come down and that falling prices, those falling prices cause major shifts in people's lifestyles and how they can operate. Then we have what's called too high inflation, where it starts to run away a bit and people start to feel pain because wages aren't keeping up with the prices of goods and services going up. And then there's something horrible called hyperinflation. That's when we lose control of price stability. So where are we today, and why am I talking to this to you? Because we are now starting to see headline news on inflation. The Federal Reserve is increasing interest rates. We've just seen recent rate increases. So you're going to hear more and more about rate increases. Why? Because we have a heated up economy. Economy is starting to move. The Fed is saying, hey, it looks like this economy is on some pretty good footing here. Let's get ahead of inflation. Let's keep price stability where it needs to be so it doesn't get into the hyper phase or it doesn't get into spiraling downward out of control. Let's try to keep it healthy. The mandate for healthy inflation by the Federal Reserve is 2%. They would like 2 to 2.5% inflation. You get an economy growing at 4 to 5%, the Fed gets worried that inflation moves above that, and then they got to drastically do things so that it doesn't get out of control and spike interest rates in a way that jolts the economy. So what they're doing now is they're trying to ease interest rates up so that inflation doesn't get out of control and go from a healthy inflation phase to too high or even worse, hyper. The Fed is the organization that has a mandate to keep inflation at a healthy pace. And they use what's in their control to do that, and that's interest rates. So what they do by raising interest rates, they're sucking some of the fuel out of the economy. They're making the cost of money more by interest rates going up. Therefore, they're trying to slow down the velocity in a healthy way. Whether they get it right or wrong is a different story. But this is the basics of how they operate. So they play with this interest rate dial. Right now, they're spinning the dial so rates move up. And they're trying to do it in small increments to stay in front of things. Try to keep inflation in check at a healthy pace. Here's what's going on today, and that's alarming to me that you need to know about. Headlines are now reading, inflation's back. This is a sidebar to the Fed and interest rates. And the problem is, for you and I and most people, inflation is the more difficult thing to understand. So people sort of check out from it. But here's what's going on. The news media is now using inflation to stoke political policy. How? Let me read a headline to you. Trump tariffs are inflationary. The wage gains that the White House is saying are now taking place are being eaten up by inflation. What does that mean? People don't feel like they're getting ahead in this country because what's happened over the last 7, 8 to 10 years is that we have not had healthy inflation. We've been in this disinflation period. Think about your Social Security increases. Been none for a while. Zero. Now they're starting to increase. That's all contingent upon the inflation rate. The amount employers pay their workers year over year, the raises that are given out, most companies use a function of the inflation rate. The past few years, inflation has been gone downward or not going up that much. Therefore, workers feel like they're not getting ahead. It's just a little bit of psychological game here. So now Trump comes in. We have an economy that's heating up. And if you look at Fox, Fox says, look what Trump's doing. Wages are up. The economy's good. Trump is bringing down regulation. Look at all he's doing. And they got the report card up there. He's doing well. Then you get the CNNs of the world, the left, or the New York Times reporting Trump's tariffs are creating inflation. And guess what's happening? That inflation is eating up wage gains, which means companies who gave the raise already for the new year, inflation's now in, and inflation is further up than what the gains they got in their salaries from the year before. Now, what they're not telling you in that headline piece is if inflation stays where it is, at the end of the year, most likely those of you that are on a salary will get a bigger raise next year. But that's not what they're showcasing, and they know that most people probably can't correlate that. What you're getting is Trump's tariffs have just hit you in the pocketbook because your paycheck isn't going as far because of his policy of tariffs have just made the cost of your basket of goods and services in the region you live go up more than what the raise you got on January 1 from your employer. Here's some action steps to take. Look at how inflation affects your life and your wealth. If you're a business owner, you need to get good at pricing the components that go into running your business and the pace of inflation, or else it's going to hit your bottom line at the end of the year as we enter into this more inflationary period of time. If you're a retiree, look at your investments and allocate accordingly. If you're all bonds all the time, bonds are not going to be the best place to be with all of your money. If you're in annuities that don't adjust to inflation with all of your money or the bulk of it, that's a problem. If you keep cash, bonds, and annuities, you're going to have an issue, potentially, if we enter into inflation that is in that healthy phase but bumps out of that healthy phase every so often and gets too high. It's going to eat into your purchasing power. You might need more diversification. You might need more equities. What is the biggest component of stock market gains over the last 60 years? Inflation. Inflation accounts for most of the gains in the stock market. Get more focused on how you're spending money and where you're spending it. And what I don't want you to think about doing is being a prisoner. It's just saying, hey, if travel's important for your lifestyle in your retired years, keep the travel. But you might want to look at where most of the inflation is within travel. Right now, today, jet fuel and the cost to get there through air travel. So you might want to do it differently, but still travel. If you're in your working years, embrace inflation because you will be getting gains matched to the inflation rate. If you'd like to know more about inflation, go to our website, cfnplan.com.
Thanks for joining us on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. All of our shows can be listened to on demand at your convenience. If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.